Today is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. It's on the page 677 in the Church Red Cover Bible. Matthew 7, 1 to 6. Judging others. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces.
Good morning to everyone. So good to be here, and especially to receive a gift from the Sunday school kids. It's very nice. And this morning I went to the Mandarin service, and interestingly, the Mandarin service doesn't have the practice or the habit of giving out Father's Day gifts. So I didn't get one at the Mandarin service. Usually the Cantonese services, we do have the habit of giving out Father's Day gifts as well as Mother's Day gifts. But because I went to the Mandarin service, I did not go to the Cantonese service, I didn't get one. And last Tuesday, when we had our pastoral team meeting, I asked Pastor Florence, what's going to be our Father's Day gift this time? And she said, "I'll keep it a secret. You know that, I'll find out on that day." But because I didn't go there, I still had no idea what's the Father's Day gift this year from the Cantonese service. But anyway, it's good to be here. To be able to spend time with all of you. 2 weeks ago, I was here to conduct communion. And the last Sunday, I was at the evening service to conduct communion. And then today, I'm here again. And then this afternoon, I'll be at the evening service again to preach the same message. When I was in the Mandarin service, I was wondering, does anyone in this English congregation know anything about the Mandarin service? Does anyone here know anyone from the Mandarin congregation at all? At least one? You don't know anyone? Hey, good. We've got a few people who know at least one person from the Mandarin service. And does anyone know that today is the 18th anniversary of the Mandarin service? Does anyone know that? I know at least Louise would know, right? So at least one person here knows about it, except we don't hear about other congregations and other services that also belong to EFCA. And it's good that we have the AGM and then the family meeting next Sunday, so we'll have a chance to see. There are other people in the EFCA too. There are other services in the EFCA too. So we're a family. So we're not just a small family here in the English congregation, but we are a larger family of EFCA. And of course, EFCA, we've got a larger family in FEFCA, and I think this is wonderful. Today, our passage talks about judging. And in fact, judging is not only about being a judge. The judging is about interpersonal relationships. And it was good that Ping was able to share with us this piecemeal again, because last time when I preached here, I was preaching from Matthew 5, verses 21 to 26. And that passage was exactly about peacemaking, forgiveness, and all these things. And I remember one thing that I said was, God cares about our relationship with Him, and God cares also about our relationship with other people. So that's exactly why piecemeal is important. And today, actually, it's a very related theme. And this passage also talks about our relationship with Jesus Christ and our relationship with other people. So let us pray again. Father God, we thank You for Your wonderful Word. Thank You, Lord Jesus. You are the Word made flesh. We can see how You have brought the glory of our Father to earth. And Lord, we thank You for giving us these teachings, especially for the past few months we have been learning from the Sermon on the Mount. We thank You because we know that You care about us and You care about our relationship with You and also our relationship with other people. Others in the church and outside of the church, others within our own church family, and in fact, within our own earthly families. So Lord Jesus, we want to learn from You. We want to learn to be like You. Teach us, Holy Spirit, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's really interesting when Jesus said, be careful not to judge, because when you judge others, you will be judged. And so we would start to wonder, especially depending on what kind of job you do. Anyone, a judge here, a magistrate, maybe in the future, right? When you're a judge, when you're a magistrate, you will have to judge. And so how would a magistrate and a judge apply this particular verse when Jesus said, don't judge, otherwise you'll be judged, right? So how do we apply God's word? Well, in fact, I can say that everyone is a judge. Whether you are actually officially a judge or not, you are a judge because you don't need a law degree to judge. You don't need to be sitting on the bench in the courtroom to judge because we make our judgments anyway. Every day we make judgments on different things. And then if you're not a judge, maybe you could be an adjudicator in a music tournament. So you will have to judge who will win, who will not win. Even if you're just a teacher. A teacher would have to mark an exam. You would have to make some kind of judgment. We all judge anyway. So Jesus would be teaching something deeper than simply saying, don't ever judge or don't ever make a judgment on anything or anyone. That just can't be true. So what Jesus is teaching us today is we have to move from false righteousness to more than righteousness. Because sometimes we move from false righteousness to self-righteousness. It's a bit blurry. So Jesus is teaching us what is true righteousness in Him. A lot of times we fall into the trap of being in false righteousness. And then we try to move away from fake and false righteousness, and then we fall into the trap of being self-righteous. Now, why do I say that? When we study chapter 7, of course, we'll have to look at the context again. We have to know the context of chapter 7, and that means we have to go back to chapter 6 and even go to chapter 5. But earlier on, I was saying, when I preached from chapter 5, we were talking about righteousness. What kind of righteousness did we talk about? Going back to Matthew 5, verse 20, Jesus said, "For I tell you, that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." So the Pharisees were practicing fake righteousness. They thought they are being righteous, but then their righteousness was a kind of self-righteousness or fake righteousness even, because they thought that they had righteousness. But it's not true. And then even Matthew 6. You remember 2 months ago we talked about Matthew 5, and then last month we talked about Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 1, Jesus said, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you would have no reward from your heaven, from your Father in heaven." So the kind of righteousness that Jesus teaches us not to do, not to fall into that kind of trap, is also fake righteousness. We want to appear to be righteous. But the Pharisees want that kind of righteousness, which is legalistic righteousness, that follows rules and regulations, that simply follows the laws of Moses. And they thought they could gain righteousness through their own behavior. And Jesus said, that is totally untrue. That is righteousness wrongly placed. That is faith wrongly placed. And then chapter 6 says, sometimes these Pharisees, they practice the kind of righteousness so that others will see them. They pretend to be righteous. They even thought they were righteous. But it's once again, Jesus said, this is false. This is fake righteousness. This is not true. So what is true righteousness? Well, throughout chapter 5 and chapter 6, I believe we have talked about it a few times. Now, when we come to chapter 7, Jesus continues to teach about false righteousness and self-righteousness. Chapter 7 especially focuses on self-righteousness. And then contrast that with true righteousness. Jesus wants to teach us what is true righteousness in him. So chapter 6 talks about self-righteousness, and what does that mean? Sometimes we might totally misunderstand if we simply read verse 1 and verse 2. And once again, let us read verse 1 and 2. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. So if we stop there, we thought we should never exercise any judgment. And so some Christians actually think we should not use our brain. So now these are called brainless Christians. Sometimes we don't use our brains. But John Stott actually wrote a small book that is called Your Mind Matters. You have to exercise your brain and your mind. And then even verse 2 says, "For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So that scares us. So we avoid making any judgments. We avoid using our brains. And sometimes we actually become brainless Christians. And so here Jesus is actually telling us, don't be brainless Christians. So what is Jesus really teaching us? So we have to read together with verses 3 to 5. Go. Listen, go. Okay, thank you. So we have to read verses 1 and 2 together with verses 3 to 5. Right? Don't be lazy. Don't stop with 1 and 2. Sometimes we're lazy when we read the Bible. Right? We thought we just fulfill that responsibility. Well, let's read some Bible. Right? So we read two verses and then we go to bed. And sometimes we read those two verses in bed, and after finishing 1.5 verses, we actually fall asleep. So remember to read verses 3 to 5. What does Jesus say? "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So sometimes we use these verses to justify that our society should be permissive. You know, when I was being trained as a social worker, we did social work studies, we did counseling studies, and one of the basic values for counselors and social workers at that time was be non-judgmental. That is one of the core values of being a social worker or a counselor, non-judgmental attitude. We should not judge our clients. We should let them be and encourage them and so on. And if that goes too far, if that becomes permissiveness, anything goes, whatever you want to do, that's your own freedom. And that kind of thinking permeates into our society, and we say, judge not, because people should be able to do whatever they want to do. They have their own freedom. We should not impose our standard of morality on others. Sounds right. Sounds familiar too. Well, this is the world that we live in. And if it even goes a little bit further, well, for example, some students in the college, in the uni, gets drunk and has to be disciplined. Immediately, his friends would come around him, and suddenly they would become very biblical, and they say, judge not that you should be judged. Right? So we all retreat. Right? We don't want to be judged, and we don't want to be known as moralistic. We don't want to be known as judgmental. We don't like to do that. We're scared. But then, is this really what Jesus is teaching us? You know, sometimes when Jesus teaches, he wants to, first of all, get our attention. You know, because sometimes when he preached, especially the Sermon on the Mount and so on, sometimes he preaches to thousands of people at the same time. Sometimes we wonder, well, Jesus didn't have a microphone. But somehow he is able to do that. Right? He can preach to thousands of people at the same time. And even Peter, you remember when he preached, as recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, he preached and 3,000 people came to Christ. 5,000 people came to Christ. And maybe at least 10,000 people were there, because I don't think 100% of the audience came to Christ as a result of Peter's sermon. So he was able to preach to thousands of people. And so people, Jesus had to get the attention of the people. And sometimes he uses these skills of exaggeration, which literary skills we call hyperbole. So to get our attention, Jesus would say something like, it is harder for the rich to enter the kingdom than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You remember that? Well, we scratch our heads, but Jesus would use these kinds of skills, literary skills, to get our attention. And so here, I think Jesus is using a similar kind of approach to get the attention of the people. We look at the speck of the sawdust in your brother's eye, but you don't pay attention to the plank in your own eye. How many times bigger is the plank compared to the speck of sawdust? So that's the way Jesus gets our attention. But of course, at the same time, it's not just a way to get our attention. It's not just a kind of a literary skill. But Jesus actually says to us, seeing only the faults of others, but blind to our own weaknesses and wrongs and shortcomings, that's human nature. We see the very small and minute faults of other people, but we totally ignore the big mistakes that we make. That's human nature. And so Jesus wants us to be transformed, because we should not just be living out of our own human nature. Because what is human nature like? Human nature is sinful nature. So we need to be transformed. We need to be Christ-like. And so what is Jesus teaching us today? Go. Right, thank you. And Jesus said, the first thing, beware of pride and self-righteousness. Sometimes we see signs, beware of dogs. I actually went onto the internet and tried to find signs that say, beware of dogs. And you actually find dozens of them. Some are very funny too. But Jesus said, beware of pride and self-righteousness. That's the first thing Jesus wants to teach us today. Pride. Pride actually, you could say, it comes from self-righteousness. We think we are better than others. That's pride, isn't it? That's pride. And when we think we are better than others, we become self-righteous in spiritual terms. And when we are self-righteous and when we are won over by pride, the next thing is we become over-critical and we become judgmental. Because we think we can judge them because we are better than they. And also self-righteousness is really funny. Self-righteousness is paying too much attention to others. But paying too much attention to what? The faults, the wrongs, the sins of other people. And not paying enough attention to their needs. If we pay a lot of attention to others in terms of their needs, isn't that good? That's good. But then we tend to be self-righteous, we tend to be proud, we tend to think we're better than they are because we pay too much attention to their wrongs and faults. And when we pay too much attention to others, the result is we would neglect self-reflection and self-examination. And that is why prayer is so important. Prayer is not just asking for certain things from God. Prayer is also reflection and self-examination, especially when we have the Holy Communion. Whenever we have the Holy Communion, it's a time for silent self-examination. But then self-righteous people and proud people and people who think they are better than others, they would slowly tend to neglect self-reflection and self-examination. And then what does that lead to? That leads to the loss of self-awareness. The lack of self-awareness. And then gradually, we become like what Jesus said, you hypocrite. We become hypocrites. Because we pay too much attention to what others do, and especially what others do wrong. And then we don't pay attention to what we might do wrong, because we don't want to know what we're doing wrong. It makes us uncomfortable. It disturbs our emotional equilibrium. So it's better to focus our attention to other people's wrongs, and then we will make ourselves happy, right? They do more wrong than I. I'm not aware of myself doing any wrongs. Well, of course, because you don't look at us, you don't look at yourself. But the interesting thing, once again, these people who are overcritical, these people who are hypocritical, these people who are judgmental, they may think they have a just cause, even a noble cause, because they thought they're serving God and serving others by finding faults in others, in their lives, in their behaviors, in their words. They thought they have to point out their wrongs so that they would become aware of their wrongs and so they would repent. How noble is that? How spiritual is that? And we like doing that. Sometimes they think they have good motives, because if I point out their sins and help them to repent, God would be pleased with me. How noble and how spiritual. And that's us, each and every one of us. And ultimately, we develop this kind of attitude that we describe as holier than thou. We thought we're better. And then harshness, judgmentalism, all these comes into our lives. But one big mistake that they have made, they believe that they can see as God sees. How wrong is that? We thought we know their hearts. We thought we know their motives. We thought we know all about their backgrounds. We thought we know all about why they have committed these sins. And we have set ourselves up as judges. I know Switch has been studying the book of Judges, but it's not the same kind of judges. We set ourselves up as judges, even though your career has nothing to do with being a judge. But like I said a moment ago, we all judge. We all make ourselves judges. And when you do that, you start to do something else. Gossiping, spreading rumors about people. Often it's also called jumping into conclusion, a very common phrase that we use. Because without knowing the full context and the reasons behind why people do certain things, we criticize them, we judge them. In the name of having a critical mind, analytical abilities. But we didn't know why they are doing that. No, I remember many years ago in one of my previous churches, I observed as a pastor that particular brother in Christ, he always comes to worship late, almost every Sunday. And almost every Sunday while I preach, I will see him come into the hall while we have already started our worship. And I thought, he must be lazy. He just wants to sleep in. But then he feels guilty about not going to worship. So he still goes to worship, but he goes late. And somehow, a few months later, I found out that this particular brother in Christ, he was a member of the kitchen committee. Like we have our kitchen, I don't know whether you actually call it a committee, right? He's actually in the kitchen committee. And then I found out also that he actually always comes to church at least 30 minutes before the worship starts. But then what did he do? He goes to the kitchen. Every Sunday morning he goes to the kitchen. He looks after everything that needs to be done. Because after the service, we will have a meal in the church. He gets things ready for us. He's very hard working. He showed us all the responsibilities. But every time when he goes to the kitchen, he took too much time. He spends too much time in the kitchen. And when he has finished everything that needs to be done and then come into worship, he is always late. Well, you can say he still comes to worship late, but he didn't come to church late. Sometimes there is a difference. And you might debate whether he should be more like Mary instead of being like Martha. Right? He should be learning from the Word of God instead of doing all the nitty-gritties and kitchen work and so on. But he did not come to church late, even though he comes to worship late. Well, at least when I reflected on this, I did not spread rumors about him. I did not gossip about him that he always comes to church late. And I have also learned that at least we should find out why he did what he did. So this is what Jesus is teaching us. How can we not become judgmental? How can we learn what Jesus is teaching us today? So when we learn to beware of pride and self-righteousness, we need to beware that sometimes we need to reflect on ourselves. The first thing we need to do, this is what we call application, if you like. The first thing we should do, change our thinking, change our actions. When you change your thinking, you can change your actions. Right? Because If you don't change your thinking, it will be hard to change your actions. And what do I mean by that? There are a few things we need to change. First of all, stop paying too much attention on other people's faults. If you want to pay attention to people, pay attention to their needs. Pay attention to how they have grown, but don't pay too much attention on their faults, mistakes, and sins. The second thing, beware the holier-than-thou attitude. We really would need to reflect on ourselves. We need to confess our own sins and acknowledge that we need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ as much as anybody else, if not more, sometimes even more. Bertrand Russell, this Nobel Prize winner in literature in 1950, he said this about hypocrisy. He said, "When I don't want to change my mind, I am firm. But when you don't want to change your mind, you're stubborn." This guy is pig-headed, but I have just reconsidered my stand. When someone actually changes his mind, he's gone back on his words. But for me, I'm only changing my mind. I'm just taking a new stand. You see how hypocrisy works? You see how our thinking process works to justify ourselves? So we have to avoid this kind of holier-than-thou attitude. And then the next thing, don't for a moment think that you can see others as God sees them. When you look at them, pray for them. If you genuinely believe that they have done something against God's word, against God's will, pray for them. Pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to them, convict them of their sins, and teach them to turn back and repent. Number four, avoid jumping to conclusion. Do your best to understand, find out the context and the reasons why they did what they did. Sometimes you'll be surprised. For example, if one person was brought up in a Christian home like many of us here are, we can't really understand the temptations of someone who was brought up in a thoroughly sinful environment. We thought we could, but we can't. And if we realized what some people had to go through, instead of condemning them, we might marvel that they have succeeded at being as good as they are. When we understand them, we accept them a bit more. Well, I'm not saying that we would condone sin, but we have to understand their backgrounds. And if we truly think that they have done something wrong, right, we have to learn how to approach them. The Bible actually teaches that too, in the book of Matthew. The American Indians, they have this saying, "Don't judge a man until you've walked a mile in his moccasins." Moccasins are shoes that American Indians make for themselves. They wear those shoes that they call moccasins. And that English phrase, put ourselves into their shoes. Same idea. So avoid jumping to conclusion too quickly. So all these are practical actions, practical things that we should be able to do as Christians. If we claim to have righteousness in Jesus Christ, once again we are reminded that Jesus Christ cares about our relationship with Him and he cares about our relationship with others. And if we claim to have righteousness in Jesus Christ, it should show in how we treat others. It should show in how we become loving and accepting and understanding the difficulties that other people face. Well, we all know that. The Bible says that quite clearly. But once again, like I said a moment ago, so naturally we would act out of our human nature. Well, we naturally become a judge. In many ways, we don't have to be taught to be a judge, unless you're actually a judge who sits in the courtroom. Otherwise, we don't need any kinds of instructions to become a judge. But judge, not in a good sense. So how do we do that? How do we learn that? And so Jesus actually teaches us too. How not to become judgmental. Oh, I've already said that. Change your thinking, change of course of action. And the second thing that we could do, ask the Holy Spirit for protection. Pray that the Lord would teach us. You remember the Lord's Prayer? What does the Lord's Prayer say? It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And probably we don't always consider this a temptation to judge people with that kind of critical attitude, with that kind of judgmental attitude, that kind of temptation. Maybe we have never thought of temptation in that particular way. But that is a temptation too. The temptation to think that we see as God sees. The temptation to judge because I'm holier than thou. That kind of temptation. Pray that the Lord would lead us not into this kind of temptation, but deliver us from evil. Third thing, ask the Holy Spirit to show you where there's pride and self-righteousness in you. And ask the Holy Spirit to teach you to learn humility, learn to be humble by reminding yourself about your own imperfection, but without condemning yourself. Sometimes we don't like to think of our own imperfections because, once again, that makes us uncomfortable, that disturbs our emotional equilibrium. So that's why we point our fingers at others. But Jesus Christ teaches us to think of our imperfections without thinking that Jesus would condemn us. So we have to learn to look at our own imperfections and not condemning ourselves, because Jesus Christ does not condemn you anymore. That is very clear in Romans 8 verse 1. And so remind ourselves as we pray to the Holy Spirit, help me, Lord, to remind myself and say to yourself from time to time, who am I to judge others? I'm a sinner too. I need Christ's mercy so badly, probably much, much more than they need Christ's mercy. I'm imperfect. I might sin, but I'm forgiven. And so are they. So is he. So is she. Let us remember that. And that is the way we can avoid the trap of being judgmental, so that we will not be judged. But then finally, Jesus also teaches us a seemingly contradictory lesson. But Jesus is really teaching us as Christians that we should be able to judge wisely. You know, verse 6 really boggles our mind. What is Jesus talking about? Dogs? Pigs? Jesus said, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Jesus was saying, we should develop a critical mind. We should, as Christians, develop our analytical thinking. We should be able to judge wisely. We should be able to know right from wrong. Christians, use your brains. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, use your brains. We exercise judgment. Don't be a yes man or a yes woman, and at the same time, don't be just a no man or a no woman. Think. And because when Jesus said, if you see your brothers and sisters who have specks in their eyes, you have to see it, whether they're actually committing some wrongs, whether actually they're actually committing a sin. And that is why we need to be able to make a judgment. Well, this world is a very confusing world, like I said a moment ago, right? We're taught to be permissive. How permissive? We're taught not to judge. But what do we judge? What do we not judge? When we actually have to judge, how do we judge? We're taught to know right from wrong, not just in an intellectual way, but Jesus was also teaching us to help to restore a fellow Christian. Galatians chapter 6, two wonderful verses. If someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So Jesus is saying there is a place for discernment and judgment in people's lives. And if you think you are spiritual, if you think you have that ability to understand the Word of God, to teach the Word of God, don't just point fingers and judge people. If you think you are spiritual, if you think you know the Bible more than others, do not be self-righteous, but be spiritual. Those of you who have the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life, go and restore a brother or a sister who have gone astray. If you genuinely believe that they have sinned, restore them gently. The Bible, once again, actually teaches us how to do that. It's not for today, but what I'm saying is Jesus actually teaches us what to do. Jesus acknowledged the need for making decisions concerning people and their behaviors that may harm their spiritual lives. And Jesus wants us to care about them. But we have to learn how to do it gently and spiritually. If you haven't learned to do that, and my counsel is, please don't do that. And so we would say, oh, I haven't learned to do that, so I don't have to do that. But Jesus is saying, you have to do it, and then you have to learn how to do it, and then actually go and do it. You know, Jesus is very positive about it. Jesus is not teaching us to withdraw. Jesus is not teaching us to avoid it. Jesus is not teaching us to say, I couldn't care less. That's his business. He has their own freedom. Jesus is not teaching us that. So Jesus actually teaches us to judge wisely, and to restore a brother and a sister wisely and gently. So you could say that verse 6, Jesus is giving us a safeguard against an extreme interpretation of the previous verses from verse 1 to 5. So we are never to look down on people in self-righteous judgment, but we should recognize sin as sin, and we should never try to justify it. So in this very confusing world, when this LGBTI, and then I forgot how many, I actually went to Google LGBTI, and I think the most recent development was there are over 30 kinds of descriptions. And then in Victoria, I just learned that this, you know about the Safe School program. And even the government is endorsing this kind of thinking. And they actually say, today if you claim to be a girl, you can be a girl. But tomorrow if you want to claim to be a boy, you can actually become a boy tomorrow. And then the next day, you change your mind again and you want to be a girl again, you actually can become a girl again. And every day you're a different gender, because there is no gender. Gender is fluid. And I'm thinking, you know, these athletes, when a man wants to take part in a woman's event, we've actually seen that. Have you seen that? We've actually seen that. We saw that happen. Just imagine, in a man's sort of weightlifting event, this man said, I know I can't win in a man's weightlifting event. Next time, I register as a woman. What do you think? The women will never have a chance. Is that fair? I don't know. But this is the world. It's becoming this kind of world. Even affects the athletes and all these competitions. And Jesus said, you don't give to the dogs the sacred sacrifice reserved for the priest, and you don't feed your pearls to the pigs. Like I said, Jesus uses these kinds of literary skills to help us to understand. Sometimes he used it in an exaggeration way. If you just imagine, if you take a pig and put it in a bathtub, you want the pig to be clean. You wash the pig, you floss his teeth, you put gel on his tail, you do whatever you want to make the pig pretty. And after the bath, after putting all the makeup on the pig, you let it go, put it back outside. You know where the pig wants to go? The pig wants to go back right into the mud. Because do you know what pigs like? Do you know what pigs think? We think, wow, these pigs are dirty and filthy. They like to sleep in the muddy water. But do you know, pigs think differently. They think that is clean water. They think mud is good. You know, even today, the ladies, when I was in lots of other places, all these shops that sell good brands of makeup, you actually use mud put on your face as makeup. You do that every day, don't you? Well, I'm not saying that you're a pig, but that's how pigs think. Isn't it clever of pigs to do that? Even now, humans pay thousands of dollars for the mud and put on our face. But for us, well, it's a different kind of mud. We have to treat the mud, we have to make it useful, right? Put some kind of chemicals there. Right? But Jesus is saying, there are people who are like that. These words may be harsh, but Jesus' point is that we should not waste spiritual treasures on those who have no spiritual interest. And so what is the message today? Today the message is a warning for us to avoid the extremes of judgment. We need to be careful not to become harshly judgmental, looking for faults in other people's lives, and taking the opportunity to look down upon them and trample on them, thinking that we are righteous, thinking that we are holier than the whole world. But on the other hand, neither are we to overlook sin. We are to be able to recognize sin for what it is. And any attempt to overlook or justify sin on any grounds is itself not just lacking, but sinful. So remember the things that we need to do. Change your thinking and then change your course of action. Remember the things that I mentioned, things that we need to do or stop doing. Stop paying attention or too much attention to the faults of others and lose our own reflection and self-examination. Beware the holier-than-thou attitude, which is so natural in each one of us. Don't for a moment think that you can see them as God sees them, and avoid jumping to conclusions. And also remember to ask the Holy Spirit for protection. Lead us not into temptation. Remember to ask the Holy Spirit to show us in our lives where there may be pride and self-righteousness. Because God cares about your relationship with Him, and He cares about your relationship with others. And Jesus is also once again emphasizing that if you claim to have righteousness in Jesus Christ, it shows in what you say and what you do, in how you judge and how you don't judge. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you because, God, you are love. And Lord Jesus, thank you because you have forgiven us. You have forgiven us knowing that we will continually fall into sin. But you have promised us true forgiveness. Whenever we are aware of our sins, and whenever we come before you to confess and repent, you will forgive us of our sins. Lord Jesus, this is the model that we want to learn from. And Lord Jesus, you are the strength where we get the power to love and to forgive. And also, Lord Jesus, thank you for teaching us today, teaching us to love in a way as in not judging people in the wrong way. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us that we are sinners, but we have been forgiven. And yet, we continually need your forgiveness. Help us, Lord, to improve, to learn, to grow in our interpersonal relationships with our brothers and sisters in the church, with our brothers and sisters, our siblings in the family, relationships outside of the church, with our schoolmates, our uni friends, our colleagues. Father God, we know you care about all of these relationships, because you care about us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being such a wonderful God. And we thank you In Jesus' name, Amen.